He's my friend. Jesus is our friend. We're thankful for that today. Good to see you this morning, and we're glad to be together to end this year. To end the year on a very positive note, to worship the Lord. And just so happened the end of the year came on Sunday today, isn't it? We're ending our 2017 year by worshiping God. Isn't that great? We're thankful for that. And I wrote in the bulletin there, we've reached the end of the year, but one of these days we're going to reach the end of our lives. The end of the 2017 came. It actually came. We're on it right now. One of these days we're going to actually reach the end of our lives. And also, of course, the world, we're going to actually reach one of these days the end of the world. Isn't that amazing? It's actually going to come. And sometimes we think, oh, it's just a faraway thing, but we are, and we need to be living each day like it is the last day of our lives. So I want to encourage you to do that. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to be studying today this old familiar passage of Philippians chapter 2, and in particular one verse, verse number 12. But let's read the context of this passage. Let's begin in verse number 5. Philippians 2 and verse number 5. How let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now he's done what he was supposed to do. He had a role to play in this world, and he did it. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He did that which was the most difficult thing in all the world, and that was die on a cross for the sins of the world. Wherefore, this being the case, since he did accomplish his goal, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And so if we'll do the same, we'll be exalted in heaven. We'll be with him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Isn't that an amazing statement there? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, preceding that statement right there, that context precedes the verse that we're going to study today. And so verse 12 is our verse. Wherefore, that being the case, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. What's this verse talking about? It's talking about obeying. Christ obeyed. Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so, that being the case, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. When I was there with you, you were obeying God. Remember, I think it was last week, we studied about the gospel coming to the city of Philippi. Lydia was baptized. Paul went down by the river and met her there. And then the jailer was baptized in his household. Many of the people there were baptized. And so you were obedient, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now that's our verse we're going to study today is. And that verse, and this is, we're going to end the year, and since we're not going to worship tonight, we're going to start our new year, end it and start it. We didn't quite get to stay here to 12, but we can kind of pretend that we're ending the year and we're starting another year, basically just a few hours difference between now and the new year. But we're going to be reminded today that we want to obey and we want to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, obedience is important, and in this verse, and we're going to be studying later in another point in this verse, that the fear and trembling is just as important as the working out your salvation, the obedience to the gospel. They go together. And so we're to work out our own salvation. Now, God has done his part. Christ, who was equal with God, came to this world and took upon himself no reputation. He's done his part. He's done what we needed to have done in order to be saved. He came. He was obedient. He obeyed the Father. He obeyed the Father unto death, yea, even the death of the horrible, cruel cross. He endured the shame, the loneliness of the trial, the loneliness in the garden as he prayed, his disciples slept. He went through all of that. He was by himself, hung on that cross. No one was his friend at that time. He did all of that. Now man must be active. God has done the part that we needed to be done, but now we must do our part. God has loved us. God has sent his Son for us. He's shed his blood for us. We're justified by the blood of Christ, but we've got to do our part. And so as we end 2017 and we begin 2018, let's end it and let's begin it with this admonition from Philippians 2 and verse 12. Let's work out our salvation this new year. Let's work out our salvation with fear and with trembling in 2018. Now there is something for us to do. Remember in Acts 2, Peter preached that great, great sermon. And then when he told them that they had crucified and slain the Son of God, the one that God had exalted to be Lord in Christ, when they found that out, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" There was something for them to do. There's something for you to do. We're to work out our salvation. We're to be obedient. They said, "What shall we do?" And you remember that great statement that Peter made. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Now, there's something for us to do. But in the very next verse, in verse number, not the very next verse, but verse number 40, "And with many other words did he exhort and testify, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." Peter preached that sermon. He's told us that the Lord has died for our sins. Then he says, "Save yourselves." Well, guess what? They didn't say, we can't save ourselves. They didn't say that. The following verse says that 3,000 people gladly received the word and were baptized. So there was something for them to do. And then they kept on doing it in verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." There was something for them to do. They were to save themselves from that crooked generation. So as we end this year and we start another year, and by the way, we're ending this year correctly and properly. We're ending it by worshiping God today. And so as we end this year and as we start another year, let's realize that we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's something that we must do to be saved and then continue to do it. The great words of Christ on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7 and 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So there is something for us to do. Work out your own salvation. Let's do what the Bible says to do. I put a little statement there in the bulletin that says, the Christian's resolutions are found in this book right here. Some people always making up their New Year's resolutions. Well, our resolutions are already made up, and we must continue to do them. And so the Lord wants us to be workers. The wise man, Jesus said, is the one that hears the Word of God and then does what the Word of God says. Matthew 7, 23 through 27. And so we must continue to do the Lord's will. Now let's talk very briefly today and just kind of review some things that we need to continue to do today and throughout 2017. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's some things that we need to continue to do to work out our own salvation. And this is a great passage here. First of all, we need to continue to grow spiritually. And so you need to continue, and I need to continue to grow spiritually in this coming year. 2 Peter 1 in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. Philippians 2 and 12 says, work out your salvation. This passage here says, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. And so we're to add to our faith. And God's not going to study the Bible for you. There's things that God has done for you and is doing for you. God has given you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's done that for you. But He's not going to study the Bible for you. So we have to work out our salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Work out your salvation. Grow spiritually. Add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. Look at that. We're going to have to. Your mom and dad can't study the Bible for you. Your wife can't study the Bible for you. Your husband can't. Your cousin, your grandmother, your aunt, your uncle, the preacher, the elders. They cannot grow in knowledge for you or virtue for you. That's something you're going to have to do for yourselves. Verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. This is spiritual growth. This is working out our salvation. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if you do these things, for if these things be in you and abound, look at that, we're to abound in these things. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If we're not growing spiritually, it is terrible spiritual maladies. You're blind. I mean, it's not good. Verse 10 says, wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, what are we supposed to do? Grow spiritually. Grow spiritually in this coming year. Study your Bibles. Do what is good and do what is right. Now let's go to James chapter 4. What are we supposed to do to work out our salvation? Grow spiritually. And then in James chapter 4, draw near to God. Chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. See, he's not going to do the resisting for you. There are some things God's going to do for you, but he's not going to resist the devil for you. And he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He's not going to do the drawing of you. You've got to do the drawing of yourself. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And so you've got to resist the devil in the coming year. And you've got to grow spiritually. This is required. This is how we work out our own salvation. This is what God tells us to do. And so let's continue to do that. You're doing a wonderful service by being here today and ending your year. And let's continue to do this. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And so here's another thing that we're supposed to do to work out our salvation. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we need to be strong in his power and in his might. Well, how do we do that? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. He's going to tell us how to put that armor on in just a second. We've got a battle on our hands. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, you've got to fight your battle. That's what we do to work out our salvation. We resist the devil. We fight the battle with him. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the devil uses all kinds of things to get us. He uses movies and music and videos and internet and television and all kinds of things. Magazines. That's what we're seeing his impact at school, our peers, our friends, the society in which we live. You know, the devil is using all of that. And we have to resist all of those things. We've got to resist those things. And so, how do we do that? What's my duty? What does he want me to do? Well, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is the armor of God then? Well, verse 13, wherefore take you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We're going to have some fortitude to make a stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This book right here is the truth, and we're to have ourselves protected by God's word, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We have to live righteously, and this book tells us how to live righteously. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, the gospel of peace is found in this book. Above all, take the shield of faith. Well, we gain faith. This book is our all in all. This book is everything that we need. And so we're to take the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here's the Word of God. This is our armor. This is our breastplate. This is our helmet. It's everything that we need. And verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and with supplication for all saints. We're to pray for ourselves, and we're to pray for the church. Do you pray for the church? I know you do. I know you're praying for the sick. You're praying for the elderly. You're praying for the families. You're praying for our teachers. You're praying for the elders and deacons and the wives. I know you're praying for everyone in this congregation. I know you pray for visitors to come our way. We pray for everything. We pray for others. And so this is how we work out our salvation. We take this wonderful word and fight our battles. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's our shield. It's our helmet. It's how we move about every day. The gospel of peace is what we're to shod our feet with. And so that's what we're supposed to do. It's our battle. It's our fight. And we need to fight that battle. Look over here to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. It says this: fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's what we're supposed to do. God's expecting us to fight the good fight of faith. Don't roll over, play dead. Get up, take a stand, fight. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And so that's what we're here to do. We're here to do that in 2018, just like we've done it in 2017. We're here to fight the good fight of faith, to keep ourselves growing spiritually, to resist the devil. And so work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. Let's be very careful this year, okay? Let's be very careful and cautious. In 1 Corinthians 10, the Bible says this, down in verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Work out your salvation. Well, how do we do that? Well, we grow spiritually. We resist the devil. We fight the good fight of faith. And we live carefully. We don't think we can't sin. That's what old Peter thought. We were studying about him in Mark 14 this morning. He says, Lord, I'll never deny you. If everybody else denies you, if I have to die, I won't deny you. He thought he stood, didn't he? He thought he stood. You know, if I was Peter, and I've learned, of course, we've learned from Peter not to say something like that. We're not going to say, oh, I'll never fall away from the church. I'll never be unfaithful. We don't say that. We're thinking we're standing when we're not. We should say, I pray that I'll never do that. With the Lord's help, I'll never do that. With the Lord's strength, I'll never do that. So we've got to live carefully. We've got to realize that we can fall. Look what Paul said here in this very opening here of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where it says, verse 26, I therefore, well, let's back up to verse 25. 1 Corinthians 9 and 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We're striving for heaven. We'll never lose that crown. It's an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run. Now this is an apostle talking. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. It's not in vain what we're doing, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Even an apostle could be careless and lose his soul. Now, I don't like bringing up the fact that we've had brethren fall away. You've seen that over your lifetime. People who used to be faithful, families, individuals who used to be faithful, but they're not any longer. What happened? They weren't careful. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Be careful. Live carefully every day. Watch your step, because you can lose your salvation. Now, you've begun your salvation. Now, let's complete our salvation. That's what Paul's saying there in Philippians 2 and verse 12. You've obeyed, not in my presence only, but when I was absent. You started your salvation. Now work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, during World War II, I don't know if you remember the exact dates and all that sort of thing, but June 6, 1944, the Allied armies landed on the beaches of Normandy. They make a big deal out of that every year. They didn't land on the beaches and say, hey, we've landed on the beaches. That's all we got to do. We've gotten here. We've gotten to the enemy territory. No. They had to fight through France. They had to fight through Belgium. They had to fight through Germany. They had to fight all the way. They had to complete the battle. Now, you've started your salvation. Now, let's finish the salvation. They got into the war. They're in World War II, but they didn't just say, well, we're in France. No sweat now. No, we've got to fight the battle of our lives. And that's what we're into. We're fighting. And we want to fight till the end. And so we're going to fight all the way through 2018. Make your calling and your election sure. Let's start 2018 faithfully. And let's finish it faithfully. Let's grow spiritually. Let's resist the devil. Let's be careful. And let's finish our course. You know, in Revelation 2 and 10, it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Can't just start the battle. You've got to fight all the way through. Remember Revelation 14 and 13, where it says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Who gets to rest from their labors? Those who have died in the Lord. Those who have died in the Lord. We haven't died in the Lord yet. We can't rest from our labors at this point in time. And so let's live our life. It's a long process. It sometimes seems like a long time. But it's really not that long when you compare now, temporary, with eternity. But let's fight the good fight of faith. Let's do our part. Let's work. Let's do what the Lord says to do. Let's work out our salvation. But this is important too. With fear and trembling. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making it up. It's what the Bible says. And it says it in the Old Testament. Let's go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, the last chapter. The last two verses of the last chapter, Ecclesiastes 12. And let's realize that fear and trembling is something that's always been taught in the Bible. The fear of the Lord is clean, the Bible says. Look at Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Don't just keep His commandments without fear. Why? You're not doing the whole duty of man. Well, why should we fear? Well, look at verse 14. See that first word there? For. That's there for a reason. That's why you're to fear God and keep His commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's why we're to fear God. Because we're going to have to answer to God. We need to fear Him because we're going to stand before Him in judgment day. Look at this passage over here in Matthew chapter 10. What a great passage this is. Matthew 10, in verse number 28. Look what Jesus says in this passage. And fear not them which kill the body. You know, the Bible says over there in 1 John, perfect love casteth out fear. What fear is that? The fear of God? No! It's not the fear of God. We're taught to have the fear of God. Perfect love casteth out fear. What fear is that? The fear of man. That's what keeps us from doing God's will, is the fear of man. Remember old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We're going to throw you in the fire. We're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. They said, we don't care. You go ahead and do it. God's going to save us, but even if He doesn't, go ahead and do it. They love God. That perfect love cast out fear. What fear? The fear of God? No. The fear of men. Remember Daniel? Stop praying to any god. Stop that praying. What did Daniel do? Opened his windows up. Got down on his knees and prayed three times a day. What'd they do? Threw him in the lion's den. Was he afraid? No. He was going to pray anyway. What does this verse say? This verse says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The whole duty of man is to fear God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We are to fear God. We are to revere Him and reverence Him. You know what's wrong with America? You know what's wrong with our world today? They don't fear God. They live as though we're never going to give an account. We can kill these unborn babies. We can shoot these people in these schools and in these churches. And we're going to kill ourselves. We're not afraid of anything. You should be. You should be afraid to kill those babies. You should be afraid to enter into a school or enter into a church and shoot innocent people. You should be afraid because you're going to stand before God. And you're going to give an account of the things that you have done. And so we're to fear Him which is able to destroy both. I think that's an incredible statement there. Both what? Both soul and body in hell. And so that's why we're to fear God. Look over here to Acts 5. We're to fear God. Look at Acts 5. And I want to make a follow-up point there on what we've just discussed. We're to fear God. Why? You're going to stand before Him in judgment day. We need to fear Him. We need to reverence Him and fear Him and respect Him. Now in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira die by the hand of God. Look at verse 11. And great fear came. This is Acts 5 and 11. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. You know, God struck those people dead, and He knew what would happen as a result. They would fear Him. Oh, Ananias and Sapphira got up there, and they lied. And Peter said, hey, they didn't fear God. And they got up there and lied again to Peter. And God struck them dead. And so fear came upon the church. But look what verse 14 says. We need to all fear God. The church is going to grow. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. You know, when we fear God, we're gonna grow spiritually. When we fear God, we know we're going to stand before Him in judgment day, and we're going to live righteously. We're going to live the right way. Because we fear Him, we realize we're going to stand before Him in the judgment day. And if we'll fear God, the church is going to grow. It's going to grow spiritually. It's going to grow numerically. We'll have something else to say about that in just a moment. But let's go to Acts 10. When Paul goes to the house of Cornelius. Oh, Cornelius was a man that feared God. But guess what? Cornelius was a Gentile. And they hadn't been taking the gospel to any of the Gentiles. But then Peter, it finally dawned on Peter after seeing the vision and hearing the voice from heaven. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, red and white, black and white, red and yellow, black and white. He's no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him. Look at that. That's even stated first there. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Why do I want to fear God? Because I want to be accepted of him. That's who God accepts. The whole duty of man is to fear him and keep his commandments. Fearing God's not an unhealthy thing, it's a healthy thing. Did any of you ever fear your daddy? If you did something wrong, you didn't want your dad to find out what you did? Why? Because your dad was chasing you and wear you out. Well, that was a good thing. You feared your dad. You lived a better life. And I can remember being in study hall and Mr. Harton sticking his head in the study hall and everybody's cutting up, writing notes and all this stuff. And when Mr. Harton stuck his head in the study hall, boy, everybody got quiet. They got a book open. They started writing something on a piece of paper, started behaving better. We behave better. When we fear authority and we respect authority, we behave better. And so we must fear God. We'll behave a better way. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Here's another passage that teaches the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse number 10. A familiar verse, I'm sure, to you. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil. Then look at the following verse. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. What terror? We're going to stand before him in judgment. We're going to give an account of the things that we've done in this body, whether it be good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, what do? We persuade men. We become evangelistic. We realize that we fear the Lord when we realize His power. And so fearing the Lord is not a bad thing. It makes us evangelistic. And so we know the terror of the Lord. What terror? The terror of appearing before Him. And then look at Hebrews chapter 10. And we won't look at all of this, but look at what it says here in Hebrews chapter 10. Fearing God will keep us from sin. Verse 26 says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, then there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. What? Yeah, if we sin willfully, what do we have to look forward to? Fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. So fearing God makes me want to get sin out of my life. I don't want to sin. Then look down there in verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes, it is. And I'm going to live a better life because I know that I'm going to have to stand before Him in judgment. Then look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, where it says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably. Look at this. Acceptably. with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. You know what is acceptable to God? Someone who serves Him out of deep respect and reverence and fear. And that's what the Bible says. And so fearing God's not a bad thing. Well, I thought perfect love cast out fear. Yeah, fear of the world. Yeah, fear of a lion's den, fear of a fiery furnace, fear of a giant. Oh, David saw that giant down there, and everybody else was afraid, but not him. Why? He said, that man's defying the armies of the living God. And I'm not going to allow that to continue to go on. And so he didn't fear the giant. All these other men were. And so perfect love, the perfect love of God, cast out fear. We're not afraid to stand for God. We're not afraid to do the Lord's will. But look at James chapter 3. And this is what fear will do. It will help us to be accurate teachers of God's word. Look at James 3 and verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters. I think some versions have teachers there. Be not many masters. Be not many teachers. Why? Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. I don't believe false teachers fear God, do they? They don't fear God, and they think they can invent things. And, oh, God told me to tell you. God didn't tell you. Quit lying. That's a lie. And so they're not fearing God. Fearing God will make a better Bible teacher out of us. It'll make us realize that we're going to receive the greater judgment. We cannot teach error. But look at the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, and verse 18 and 19. Fearing God will keep me from tampering with God's word. Revelation 22, 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. That's a warning. And you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to add anything to the word of God. And every translator, we were talking about translations a little while ago, every translator, this applies to you too. Verse 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And so let's work out our salvation this year, this coming year. Let's work out our salvation, and let's do it with fear, and let's do it with trembling. That's what the Bible says to do. And we're going to grow. You're going to grow spiritually. You're going to resist the devil. You're going to live a righteous life. If you'll do this, you'll grow spiritually. You'll fight the good fight of faith. You'll be evangelistic. And the church here will grow. It will grow and grow. And we want that. That's what we want. And so this old year is passing away, and this new year is coming upon us. And so let's be faithful. Let's be faithful all the days of our lives. Now, in our talking about these things today, we may have talked about something that you realize is amiss in your life. And that's a good thing. That's good if you realize that's wrong and you need to correct it. That's a wonderful thing. And so God has graced us with an opportunity for you to make that better, to make that right today. And so come forward and we can have a prayer for you, and we can help you in your fellowship with the Lord again. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, we're going to say what Peter said. He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourself. Be baptized for the remission of your sins and live faithfully. And do that as we stand and as we now sing.